Oh, I forgot something. So now, last week, I'll need that in a minute. Last week, we began a series that is going to take us through Lent in the run-up to Easter. And Heather wonderfully helped us to explore the beginning of a spiritual journey and thinking about that call to wilderness, referencing both John the Baptist and Jesus and something of their wilderness experiences. And then that kind of encouragement of looking at the stirring in our hearts for something more. And we were challenged to step beyond those places that we find comfortable and to create space for encountering God intentionally. So, and we were considering also about how we could redeem space. That was the other thing that would otherwise be wasted. And I did say I found myself, I happened to be popping along to a chiropractor to sort out a back issue that I had. And when I'm sort of waiting to be all reset and face down on the bench, I'm trying to use that space to pray. It's very odd, praying, lying on your face, looking at the floor, but, you know, I'm trying to redeem that space. So I and I'm thinking if I get in a supermarket queue, I'm going to try and remember to use that space to kind of think, oh, okay, rather than just complaining that the queue is miles long, you know. But it's looking at those spaces that God gives us and seeing how we can bring God into those. So we're continuing onwards this morning and reflecting on what we might take with us and what we might leave behind, and because that's the choice of the traveller, the one journeying in life. And it's the choice of the faith pilgrim, the one who journeys with God. Because life is a process of continual change and movement, one in which humanity often finds itself searching for pattern or significance or meaning. Because deep within each of us lies this kind of longing for something more than the fleeting nature of much of what we encounter in life. We long for something that is lasting and eternal. Now, we know that people seek fulfillment in the things of this world. But for us, those who walk in relationship with God, we've discovered that it's in finding Him and coming into relationship with Him that these longings are satisfied. Psalm 107 says this: some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. That's actually very different to what I've got in there. I'm going to read this one. I've just realised that's a very different version to what I've got in my notes. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and He rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for His great love and the wonderful things He has done for them. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Now, I'm quite relieved it still ends with what I was hoping it would end with. Shows I know confusion. But as we journey forwards with God, we're to be intentional about seeking Him, because we know that He loves us and we know that He has our good at heart. He wants to fill those who hunger with good things. But we also need to be deliberate about the things in their lives that lead us to get to know Him better. And part of that is through the choices that we make. So as we travel with God in our faith journey, it's important to take time to discern a couple of things. What is essential for our inner vitality, and what has become a burden that needs to be laid down? If we're heading off on a journey, this brings with it a decision. What are we going to take with us, and what are we going to leave behind? From as simple as, this is why I needed my bag with me, because I brought some things with me. Hopefully I'll open it the right way around. I'm just going to move everything out of the way. It's a good job I didn't bring any bigger suitcases, isn't it? Right, let's open it up. So if we're going out for the day, we make a choice, okay? We might need a hat. We might need a scarf. We might need an umbrella. I'm always terrified of that one. I feel like it's going to shoot off the end one day. And that's just for the summer. Or if we're going on a longer trip, in our suitcase, we might make decisions about the clothes we pack or the book we want to read and so on. So swapping books with Joe, I thought I'd bring it as an illustration. So as I head off on my pilgrimage walk, I'm not going to stay in a hat and scarf all day. as part of my, as part of my sabbatical, I've had to make choices. Now, like this top, hang on, where's my top? So, my top. I did a sponsored walk a few years ago now. I actually hadn't realised it was sort of 2020, and I'm still trying to wonder, well, it must have been when it was okay to go out for a long walk. But actually, I have to confess, it's no longer really suitable. It's not quite the right fit, shall I say. So it's not coming with me to Italy. It's not allowed. I've banned it. Now, however, these shoes are coming. These are will be the shoes that will walk approximately 120 miles, 200 kilometres with me. I'm hoping they don't do me damage on the way. But these are the ones that are coming because the previous set I had got worn out and they weren't suitable. So I got rid of those and I've been wearing these in. But it's not just clothes. It's not just things. I have to really think about what I'm taking, because when we're on the move, we just cannot take everything with us. Whether that's on a day trip, on a holiday or whatever, even the longer walks like I'll be doing. There should be a picture of a suitcase by now. Beyond all that, let's just say perhaps one of the biggest moves, moving house. That's quite a big move. I would say it's a rare situation indeed that every single thing in one house would be packed up and taken to the next without some kind of sorting through. And that got me thinking about way back when I was first considering going to college to train, I had an upright piano. I apologise for the like fuzziness of this, but I had to search through albums to even find a picture of it and found this one. This is the piano, and aware I was selling the house and going to college, because college is expensive, I was moving into rented accommodation. I decided that seeing as no one in my family actually played the piano, I would get rid of it. Now, if you're wondering why we had a piano with no one able to play it, that is another story for another time, or you can ask me later. But basically, while it looked lovely, as you can see, it was a display space for photos and birthday cards. Beautiful. And I still remember the conversation that I had with my mum about this, who seemed insistent that having a piano was a brilliant idea. The idea of me getting rid of it was daft. Funnily enough, she didn't play it either. I don't know why she was so passionate about it, but I still remember saying this phrase to her: nomads don't have pianos. People who live in, move about a lot don't need to be carrying or taking huge objects with it. I mean, I guess I had some kind of sense that even before I'd headed off to college for that first move, that the journey God was taking me on would involve moving more than once. And the idea of taking this enormous and quite frankly heavy piano with me seemed ridiculous. And so indeed, I did get rid of it, although I had to almost pay someone to take it away. That aside, but since that first move, following the call from God, I have actually moved 6 times. And I am so glad I have not had to take this piano with me. Now, you might not have a piano. You might have a piano. You might think, oh my word, I could never get rid of my piano. I love it. I play it all the time. I do not play it all the time. And that's fine. We all have different journeys. And we would each choose to take or leave different things. And that kind of is a metaphor for the spiritual journey we're on, because each will look different for each of us. And as we walk with God, we'll need to make wise decisions about what we need to leave behind and what we take with us. Just after our verse of the year, which it talks about where Jesus invites us to walk and work and watch with him, in Matthew 11:28, he extends this invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There's something of a call to go to Jesus and let go of unnecessary weight. Things that aren't bringing us joy or inspiring us. There are, of course, some things that hinder our growth. There are habits we get ourselves into, or behaviours, or thought patterns, or ways of doing things. We might be holding on to unrealistic expectations or old ways of thinking, or there might even be relationships we need to step away from that are damaging or stopping us from authentically walking freely with Christ. But it might also be that in our journeying, things that we've been doing might, once perhaps were helpful, we might also need to think about whether they need to be laid down. As an example, as a minister, I'm encouraged to have spiritual direction, which is a regular relational process where someone who's been trained, the director, accompanies another person seeking a deeper relationship with God, the directee. And the director aims to offer a space for shared reflection, which helps the directee to discern God's presence and guidance in their life. And over the past few years, I've found listening to daily reflections produced by Lectio 365 really helpful. You'll have heard me mention it if you've been to, along to some of the services. But when I last met with my spiritual director, he suggested I try a different daily reflection, different gasp, to bring a freshness to my time with God. So for this period of Lent, I'm giving another app called Daily Prayer, which is produced by the Church of England, a try. Now, that doesn't mean that Lectio 365 is terrible or isn't good. Far from it. In fact, if it is something that you do and sustains you on your journey, then keep doing it. And if it's something you've never tried it for, then give it a go. You might find it brilliant. But, and I'm likely to come back to it at some point, but the sense as we talked was that, for, at least for me at this point, it wasn't being as helpful as it once had been. So I needed a bit of a shake-up. And Lent seemed to be the ideal time to make a change because it was for a set period of time and then I can reconsider. But I think it's really good for all of us to review how our journey with God is going. And sometimes doing something different, changing from what we have been doing for a long time to something new, can refresh and renew our faith walk. That could be something as simple as changing the Bible translation you use to a different one, or finding a different practice altogether that reinvigorates your walk with God. There are many different varieties of spiritual disciplines. It might be you've used a particular Bible reading notes for a while. Then a change might be worth thinking about. Again, years back, Andy and I used to read Lucas on Life. And having used them for a bit, we wanted a change. Not because the content was bad, far from it. Again, it was very good, but we needed a shake-up. We needed to encounter something different to open our eyes to new perspectives and new voices. And even though we're only a few days into Lent, it's a good opportunity to consider something different. And you know that if you set it, it's not going to be forever. If you go, well, I'll try something new in the run-up to Easter. If you don't end up enamored at the end of that time, you can change. I mean, you could use a specific Lent study book. Now, thankfully, someone did ask me about resources, so I happen to have got these out, so I've brought a selection. If you want to have a flick through, these are just ones that I just had on my shelf. Let's pull up the picture as well so you can see it. So there's just a variety of different ones. This one's written by a friend of mine, just advertising his material. I'll let him know. I don't know what that's doing on the left-hand side. That should not be there. That should be on the next page, because I'm now going to tell you that, because there are some Lent study things that you can get online. Tear Fund, the Bible Society, they all have various things where they just send you an email each day or they take you into one of their app things and you get a daily reflection. What is it that sustains our walk with God? You know, is it our Bible times with Him? Is it our times of prayer? Is it a podcast series or listening back to sermons or going along to an encounter group? What is it that keeps us fed and connected with God between one Sunday and the next? And what is it that we do now that we might need to consider? Do we need a bit of a change to hear a different voice, see a different perspective, come across stories we might not have come across before? Different practices, as I said, different disciplines, you know, like something like Lectio Divina, which is reading the Bible in a particular way where you put yourself in the story. We can have ourselves awoken to discovering God in new places and spaces. But even as we consider that newness of what we're doing, we need to think about whether we're doing something because we feel we ought to. Do we have a quiet time because that's what we've been told? We all have to do it. Or are we doing it because we have a passion within us that we want to spend time with God who called us into relationship with Him? Are we doing things out of a duty or a desire? Is what we do in our journey a source of joy and renewal, or have they become sort of an obligation? But that's not to say that routine isn't good for us. Sometimes it can be important to do things that support our spiritual growth, even when we don't feel like it. But let's not continue doing those things unquestioningly. Now, the material for this spiritual journeying series provides some thoughts and reflections around the theme for each week. And one of the reflections for this week was taken from a book called The Song of the Bird, which is a collection of stories and parables from around the world gathered together by a Jesuit priest called Anthony de Mello. And this is the story, and I've lost my drink, which I need to drink before I read you the story. Hang on a minute. So this is the story. Let's get through to the next. There we go. The industrialist was horrified to find a fisherman lying lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you out fishing?" said the industrialist. "Because I've caught enough fish for one day." "Why don't you catch some more?" "What would I do with it?" "Earn more money," said the industrialist. "Then you could have a motor fixed to your boat and go into deeper waters and catch more fish. That would bring you money to buy nylon nets, some more fish and more money. Soon you'd have enough to buy two boats, even a fleet of boats. Then you could be rich like me." "What would I do then?" "Then you could really enjoy life." "What do you think I'm doing now?" A businessman, urging a fisherman to work harder, to accumulate wealth so that one day he could finally relax and enjoy life. And his response is simple: "What do you think I'm doing now?" And in that, as I read through that, I heard echoes of the parable that Jesus once told about a rich merchant that we find in Luke 20. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And those two stories made me think that we really need to be considering what truly brings balance and vitality to our lives. Contentment is not found in endless striving. And sometimes we can find ourselves burdened with expectations that weigh us down rather than actually bring us closer to God. So let's have a think. Are the things we are doing as on our spiritual journey helpful to us? Or have they become a hindrance? Just as we must decide in life, whatever the length of journey we take, we need to figure out what is essential and what is unnecessary. So too, we must discern what truly sustains our faith and what needs to be laid down. But as we come to make these choices, deciding what to take with us as we journey onwards and what to lay down, we have to acknowledge that it isn't always easy. We can find ourselves hesitant to make a commitment to one thing or another because we might miss out on something. We might make the wrong decision. But the reality is that through not making a choice at all, we're likely to stagnate. But the pilgrimage we're called to as people of faith requires us to be on the move, and movement requires decision about where we're going and what we're doing. Remember the beginning of the journeys that the disciples made with Jesus. He called them to leave their nets, to leave their livelihood, all that was familiar to them, and walk with him into the unknown. Would we be willing to do the same? What are the nets that we have that might still hold us back from fully following Christ? What fears might we have that prevent us from taking that first step? Or stepping forwards? What are the things that we feel compelled we have to bring with us, even if we know that carrying it will most likely prove to be hard or challenging? I wonder if we cling to things through a fear of change, or that we might not be enough without whatever it is. We hold on to possessions, past experiences, emotional burdens, and even spiritual practices as if they define us. And yet Jesus calls us to trust that he is enough. And he asks us to travel light, not just in material things, but in spirit. Later on, after that first call away from their livelihood, when Jesus sent the disciples out, that sense of traveling light was apparent in the instructions he gave them. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that they weren't to take much with them. And this is what Mark wrote in chapter 6. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. I'm not sure I'm going to take my journey in quite that far. But Jesus says, travel light. Travel light, knowing that I am enough. And we know that the people who've walked the path of faith before us, they knew something of that truth. We can look at people through history, like perhaps Francis of Assisi, who I've been reading about recently, who embraced this radical simplicity, not because he despised the world, but because he longed to be free for God. Or Mother Teresa, who chose to live only with what she needed, so her hands and her heart remained open to love. For she believed that by living simply, she could serve others better and find deeper joy in all that she encountered. Indeed, there might be people we know personally who embodied this call to turn their focus away from what the world offers and prioritizing things that bring about a deepening of their relationship with God. And their lives then becoming a testimony that when we leave behind what is burdensome, we make space for what is life-giving. So as followers of Christ, our choices need to be wise. We live in a throwaway world that discards too quickly, where something is popular one minute and yesterday's news the next. We are called to discern with wisdom. And making a choice to take or leave something is not done with reckless abandon. It's about faithful stewardship. It's about seeking what it is that God would have us do. And we are to cherish what is good. To be mindful that what we choose to keep should bring nourishment to our souls and encourage the growth of our relationship with the one with whom we walk. So something to think about as we continue on our spiritual journey. What is it that provides our spiritual journeying with inner vitality and balance? Are there things that we're holding on to that have become burdensome and obstructive? And how can we travel more lightly, trusting that Christ is enough? See, Jesus' call remains before us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So may we have the courage to lay down what weighs us down and take only with us what sustains us for the journey with him. Because it's in this, we find freedom.
There sits Simon,